we worship together this morning, please attune your hearts to hear these words, taken from Proverbs 17, verse 17, and Proverbs 18, verse 24. A friend loves at all times, and kinsfolk are born to share adversity. Proverbs 18, 24. Some friends play at friendship, but a true friend sticks closer than one's nearest kin. Now let us continue listening for the word of God as we hear these words from Ecclesiastes 4, verses 7 through 11. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, the case of solitary individuals, without sons or brothers. Yet there is no end to all their toil, and their eyes are never satisfied with riches. For whom am I toiling, they ask, and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls, and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks today for the promise of your presence. You have said that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You have proven that through your beloved one, Jesus, who came and then came back to us, and who promised to stay with us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for these precious relationships. And we pray, O God, that as we reflect during these moments, that your Holy Spirit might draw near again. Bless us and open us to receive your word and be more closely bound to your way. We pray it in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. What's the most important thing in your life? Without taking a poll, my guess is that for many, if not most of us, if we really stop to think about the answer to that question, then it might not be a what, but rather a who. I imagine that for many, if not most of us, the first thing that might come to mind in answer to that question has to do with a person or a group of people. Today, we're going to think together about relationships. The primary relationships in our lives, the relationships with our partners, with our family members, and with our closest friends. Each one of us in the room today has so much going on in our relationships. Some of it is painful, some of it is wonderful, and there's always a lot that's happening under the surface. There's always just a lot going on in our relationships. As I prepared this soul food sermon series, I had in mind things I was hearing about how folks are trying to cope with living in their already full lives with what for many has been the added stress and outrage and fear and uncertainty that has gotten stirred by the presidential campaign, by the election, and subsequent events. One of the things that's emerged was the toll that all of these things taken together were taking on people's relationships. I heard this loudest with regard to folks' family members who have opposing political views. That's been a common theme. But I've also heard, spoken almost in a whisper, that marriages and partnered relationships were really feeling the effects of the stress, that the stresses were finding their way into folks' closest relationships. And of course this would be the case, because whatever's going on with us is going to come into our closest relationships. Anthony and I just moved on Monday to a new house in Brookland here in D.C. Moving is stressful. And when you add that stress to all the other stress that already exists in our lives, I'll make it in my life. Our stuff shows up in those moments. It shows up for better or for worse in those moments. It takes a toll. And what I've also been reminded of, what I know, particularly on the heels of this week's event in my life, is that it's good to have a friend. It's good to have a partner. It's good to have someone who will not only put up with you, but who will help you recalibrate and regain your balance. The rather dark and cranky wisdom of Koheleth in the book of Ecclesiastes that we heard a moment ago puts it this way: two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? In other words, we need each other. We need somebody. And it may not be like a spouse or a romantic partner, but we need other people. We need friendship. We need someone who will be there with us for those moments when we fall, when we get cold. I have to admit and confess that at this point, I toyed with the idea of pausing the whole sermon and maybe taking over the rest of the time for us to do a sing-along of popular songs based on this theme. Now, and I'm sure that we in this congregation could totally pull that off, but I'll just remind you, I'll just let you know some of the songs that quickly came to mind this morning at around 3:30. Lean on Me, you know we could do that one, right? We could do that. With a little help from my friends, Bridge Over Troubled Water. Yeah, I said this morning it'd be lovely to hear our 9 o'clock crew try to tackle that, you know, with morning voice. And Rise Up, just to get a more modern song. Do y'all know that song, Rise Up? That's an amazing song. Amazing. All these songs have been written, so many more, on this theme because it's so true. It's so human. We need each other. We need friendship. We need relationship. We are created to be in relationship, and regardless of the shape or the size or the makeup of our family or our circle of friends, the primary relationships in our lives are a profound source of soul food, or they could be. Sometimes we let other things in our lives, work or bad habits or emotional baggage keep us from fully receiving the nourishment that's available from those close to us. Over the years, I've known lots of folks who have found their marriage in a shambles because of years of simple failure to communicate. I've witnessed children alienated from their parents due to lack of time spent together. I've watched friendships sour through failure to show up for each other. But today, our focus is not on broken relationships or on those tragic instances of abuse or betrayal and so on. Rather, today, I'm going to just offer a very, very simple reminder that there is nothing more important than the primary relationships that we have in our lives right now. There is simply nothing more important than those relationships. And these relationships deserve our care and our attention, and they are or can be a source of deep nourishment. Have you ever noticed how in the movies and in fairy tales and TV, the focus of the story of relationship is often on all the activity leading up to the beginning of a real relationship? I mean, one of my, earliest stories, the story of Snow White, it was the Disney version, just telling you, it was from 1942 or something. But Snow White, you've got all those little dwarves and songs of longing for someday my prince will come. You know, this whole thing. But just when they finally meet, Snow White and the handsome prince, and they've just met for the first time, mind you, what are the words we hear? And they lived happily ever after. They just met. You want to talk about a setup for unhealthy expectations. In the movies, you see the hot pursuit of one person for another, and most times the credits begin to roll just about the time they finally decided to be together. In fantasy land, the hard part of romantic relationships is all in the meeting. And of course, meeting the right person, trust me, I've heard enough stories from you people to know that meeting the right person is certainly not always easy, and is often pretty darn hard. But I would suggest that the even harder part of relationships is what happens after you've ridden off into the sunset, after you've made the commitment. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, even if your call is to singleness, or even if you never use those traditional words with a partner, that's the stuff of real relationship, whatever the relationship is, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. That stuff is what real relationship brings. And when you are in a real relationship, then things get real pretty quickly. I mean, really. Unfortunately, idealized pictures of relationships get into our heads. And because we tend to want things to be like they are in the fairy tales, we want things to be easier than they are, we can appropriate these images, and as a result, we can end up feeling put upon, like someone's doing something bad to us, or we can feel like we ourselves are failures when commitment and relationship aren't as easy as, and they lived happily ever after. All of a sudden, we're like, what? Like, it's not supposed to be like that. Any meaningful relationship will require care and cultivation and patience and work. Like a garden, our relationships need to be lovingly tended, or they can become dry and unmanageable, even unrecognizable. Healthy relationships require an investment of time. Today at Foundry, we prayed blessing upon small group leaders who have made a commitment of time to be in relationship, to convene these groups. And connecting with a small group, making that commitment to be in relationship in a way that's thoughtful and accountable and honest, what a beautiful opportunity to practice what it means to be in healthy relationship. What a gift. In my own life, I do okay with some relationships, less okay with others, and always I can do better. More than one clergy colleague has posted recently on Facebook about their struggle to be a good friend. I found that very interesting, about how ministry in the church always seems to override making time for friendships. It was a painful awareness that I could relate. But it's not just ministry. It's really for any of us. Our work responsibilities, no matter what they are, can become so all-consuming that we have little time or energy for friends or for anything else. I joke around saying, you know, I don't really get out much. It's a sad commentary. My further challenge, and that's on me. That's nobody doing that to me. My further challenge is that even when I have held aside time, and I do, to spend time with Anthony, my spouse, he often gets the worst of me. Since I have been so intent on trying to give my best to everyone else. Perhaps you understand what I'm talking about. We can be patient and open and creative and engaged with others, but when it comes to our partner or our parent or our child, there's so much to consider and so many important things to practice to sustain healthy, nourishing relationships. We have to communicate well. We have to, as my Arkansas grandma taught me, you got to give a little and you got to take a little. You have to learn how to compromise. It's important to have compassion, to think about things from the other's point of view, and then to be patient and gentle and forgiving and open. Learning how to have truly healthy relationships is a lifelong process. But friends, when it is going well, what a joy, what a delight. Because in those moments, you feel heard, you feel understood, you feel connected, you experience tenderness and intimacy. You know yourself to be cared for, and you know that you are caring for someone else. You can laugh together and accomplish hard things together. Now that is some nourishing soul food. So today I want to invite you to put not only care, but also celebration of your relationships on your plate. Care for your relationships, but also celebrate them. Oh my gosh, celebrate the gift that your loved ones are to you. Tell them how special they are to you. Let them know. I have a friend who is so good at this thing. She will send me cards and messages and these ridiculous gifts and candy and all sorts of things for any possible occasion. She makes occasions up to like send me stuff. And it's amazing to me. It's humbling to me. I'm not good at that. She's amazing. But what if we did even one little bit of that for somebody? What a gift. What a gift that might be. And it doesn't have to be a concrete gift. It can be just speaking the word. Tell your loved one that you love them and why. When's the last time you said, this is the thing about you that makes my heart sing? Why not go do that today? Why not text somebody right now? You can do it. You know you have permission. celebrate those precious relationships in your life, whatever they are, whoever they are. Don't take these precious people for granted. Because without them, who would lift us up when we fall? How would we ever keep warm? Amen.